What day is it? Has it really only been one full day since I was in Indy? Where do I even begin? Well, all right. This is Gen Con, the biggest tabletop gaming convention held in the USA, heralded as the best 4 days of gaming. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Gen Con. Episode 1, Reflections of a Con. So this is the third year that I've actually gone to Gen Con. Officially, it's the second year that InRoads Ministries has been represented, but it's actually our first year as a recognized nonprofit. Last year's Gen Con report took the form of multiple episodes, each kind of with their own flavor. This year is actually going to be kind of the same. You can expect three different episodes about Gen Con and what I saw there and everything like that, but there won't be as much pomp and circumstance across the other ones. Last year I had them separated by all sorts of different themes and stuff like that. We really won't do that this year. The first episode that you're going to hear this year is basically going to be my reflections. It's going to be interviews with some publishers and some other folks that have been around. And then the other ones, the second post is going to come out, and it's going to be pretty much untouched, almost completely unedited footage of the panel, because those guys just killed it this year, and I want you to hear all of it. And then the third episode that's going to be put out is going to be Derek White's sermon from the church service. All right, that is a whole lot of exposition without actually getting into anything actually about the con, so let's just kind of move on, and we'll talk a little bit about what I saw this year. So I hadn't even made it out of Gen Con before people in the tavern were posting to ask what I was bringing home from the convention. So I figured we might as well start there. If you had a chance to see my Gen Con preview from the InRoads site itself, most of what I'm about to tell you will not be a surprise, but let's go anyway. The first game that I want to talk about is a little game called Blood Rage. It's probably the only title that I actually had to fight to get my hands on. I rocked that exhibitor badge hard to get this into the collection. They did not bring a lot there, and really, I didn't even know that this title was going to be present. It was that late in the game that they announced they'd have some. This game is from the folks at Cool Mini or Not, so you know the components are just going to be absolutely top-notch. The miniatures that this uses are just plain gorgeous. I'll add to that, you know, those are the known factors. But I'll add to the fact that after playing this, I did get a chance to already get a game of this in. It was one of the first things I cracked open. It's still too early to say that it's going to unseat City of Remnant as my favorite game in the collection, but I will tell you that it's only the second title I own that I've bothered to give a 10 out of 10 on my Board Game Geek rating. Now, it's not for everyone, but for me, there's just so much going on here. There are multiple ways that you can win. There are multiple strategies to employ to make sure that your Viking tribe is the one that has the most glory. I'm a sucker for Norse mythology. And so playing as a clan of warriors fighting alongside monsters as Ragnarok is going down, I love this game. I love it a lot. And really, while the miniatures do add something to it, I would probably still really find this game enjoyable, even if it was just cardboard tiles. So that it's got that going for it. I am a huge fan of this game. I heard that the Kickstarter backers are going to get their rewards come around September, I think. If you're not a Kickstarter backer and you didn't get it at Gen Con, I have no idea when this is going to come available in retail, but when it does, it will be well worth picking up. This game is amazing. Not having known that Blood Rage was going to be available at this year's event, the title that actually was number one in my preview was a little title called Ashes, Rise of the Phoenixborn from Plaid Hat Games. Now, being the Plaid Hat fanboys that we are, we've obviously had some preliminary thoughts on the game in previous episodes of the podcast. I can tell you that having cracked open the box and sifted through all the cards, the dice are solid and well-made, the card art is amazing, and everything just looks spectacular. I'm super excited to get this one to the table, and I could explain to you what the game is about, but I actually have a little bit of audio that I got with the game's designer, Isaac Vega. All right, guys, when I did my top 10 favorite things I was looking forward to at Gen Con,
Obviously, y'all know that I love Plaid Hat. You guys know that currently my favorite game that I own in my collection is City of Remnant, which is an Isaac Vega game. And here I am with Isaac to talk about the new thing that was number one on my list, which is Ashes. So, Isaac, tell everybody just a little bit about what the game is about.
Well, first of all, thanks, man. I mean, you're really sweet. And Ashes is a dueling card game, which you are taking on the role of a Phoenixborn. Now, these Phoenixborns are like these cool demigods in this world that have already saved the world from this horrible chimera race that was plaguing the human race. And now they're kind of like just kings and overlords of different cities. And now there's a prophecy that's taking place that they all have to destroy each other in order to rise up as the Phoenix God. So it's very Highlander-ish, where there can only be one at the end. And you're taking on the role of one of these characters and fighting against the other players. Now, what makes this unique from other dueling card games is that you get to start off in your hand with five cards of your choice. So you get to start off on the footing that you want. You're never going to have a bad draw to start off the game. You're going to have your deck work how you want it to from the start. And what's also cool about this game is that you get 10 dice to use as your resources, and you're able to mitigate that luck when you're rolling by discarding cards from your draw pile, discarding cards from your spell board, discarding cards from your hands. And you can go ahead and change those dice sides to whatever sides that you need in order to manipulate and bring out different things onto the game. You have different units that you can bring out onto your battlefield. Each character has a specific battlefield number, a specific spellborn number, so it kind of makes every character unique. They also have a special card that can only go in their deck. They also have special abilities. The game is really cool. It has a back and forth kind of gameplay. Each player takes one main action and one side action that allows them to kind of go back and forth, and it feels like a head-to-head battle. You're always changing your actions depending on what the other player just did. It really makes you feel like you're there, and it plays to 15 to 30 minutes per player. It can play from 2 to 4 players, and it's just a fun, quick time for a cool dueling action game, man.
Very cool. Now, I'm guessing that since you did say that you can do like pre-constructed things, but out of the box, I know that each Phoenixborn has their own cards.
Each Phoenixborn has their own deck. There are 6 Phoenixborns to start off in the box. If you come in today, you're going to get Demona, the promo that comes with the game, which is another Phoenixborn. She doesn't have a deck, but you can go ahead and build one around her. And then you can go ahead and start building your own decks from those cards. So you can either take the game, open the box, start playing with the decks that we have in mind, or you can go ahead and start building your own and having a good time that way. There's tons of possibilities in one box.
Now, as the game designer, I know this is kind of like asking a parent what their favorite kid is, but is there one of the Phoenixborn that you particularly think is your favorite?
Oh my gosh, that's such a hard question. Like, right now, I'm loving Demona because there's just so many possibilities with, like, trying to figure out new stuff with her, and I'm excited to see what people do with her because, like, it's just, it oozes creativity, and I just can't wait till that starts getting out there. I also really like Noah because he has a lot of cool, like, shadowy abilities, and it's just some cool stuff that I like. But, man, it's really hard because, like, I love all of them. And then there's the expansions that I'm working on right now, and I love those guys even more. I'm always, like, cult of the new. Like, I love the new stuff that I'm working on.
So. Well, you mentioned expansions. I figured it was destined to happen at some point.
Oh, yeah.
Do you have any kind of even remote ETA as to when they're going to happen?
We're hoping in about 3 months you'll see the next 2 decks coming out. Currently, you know, we're trying to get the main set out, but we're going to get those into testing really soon, and it shouldn't take much because it's just going to be a couple decks that are going to come out for that, and then we have another set after that. So hopefully both will be out before the end of the year. So that'll be 4 new decks before the end of the year. If not, it'll be definitely the other 2 will come out later in the quarter, but you'll definitely see a new expansion before the end of this year.
Okay, now I know the pre-orders went out. You're obviously selling it here at Gen Con. Are we set for retail? Are you guys getting it all out there? Are we going to see this in stores, or do we have to wait?
We sold a lot in pre-orders, and we have a lot here at Gen Con, and depending on how it does, I don't know how many we're going to have left for stores, but we're definitely working on getting that over to stores very quickly. We want to definitely get them into people's hands and get them in stores because we want this to be an organized play type of game. We're working on I have a meeting here at the con about working out an organized play kit and all that good stuff too, so we definitely want to get them out as soon as possible, but I don't have a date for you guys yet.
Okay, so hopefully you guys ordered it and got and are sitting on your copy right now, or you're here at Gen Con. But yeah, definitely excited about this game. Super excited to see what's going to happen. Thanks so much, Isaac.
No problem. Thanks for having me, man.
Now, before we're done with this episode, we will go back to the Plaid Hat booth. I was able to catch another interview there about another game that's upcoming, but I want to kind of just get through the hall before we do that. The next game I picked up, I kind of want to talk about just because of the game, because it's awesome. But I haven't gotten to the table yet, and I'm not 100% sure of all the mechanisms, because there's a lot of ins and outs to it. It's a game called Viceroy. It's by Mayday Games. I was not part of the Kickstarter, but this was apparently a very popular Kickstarter item. It just kind of flew completely under my radar. It's a game where you're bidding for cards, and you actually take those cards that have various abilities and trying to put together kind of an engine to build as many victory points as possible by using abilities and color matching. I really think there's a lot of cool stuff going on here. The bidding mechanic is fascinating to me, that you're bidding, depending on what you bid, you might get a deal on some cards. If you bid the exact same thing as somebody else, you might actually push the card to the next round, and you might really get a good job next time. I'm really fascinated with the ins and outs of this game, but like I said, I haven't gotten it to the table, and I wasn't part of the Kickstarter. So one of the things that really intrigued me about this, other than the fact that it was like super popular, was I want to talk to you guys about the business model here, because any designer listening to us right now that has a booth at Gen Con, or really, I think, any convention where you're selling your game, I want you to take note of this. Now, these guys aren't the only company that does this, but they're the only company that I worked with that does this. They offered a pre-order, and the pre-order basically allowed me to, you know, pay for everything. I took care of all the details. I figured out what add-ons I wanted. And I just walked up, gave them my name, showed them an ID to make sure they knew that it was actually me. And then I was gone. In seconds. Guys, this will clear up the hall so quickly if more people start doing this. Obviously, there's going to be stuff that you find at the convention. Obviously, you don't know that you're going to like every game. So, you know, this doesn't mean that you have to pre-order beforehand, but if more companies offered this as an option, I think the gridlock snarl that is the dealer hall will be so much more fluid. Guys, check out Viceroy, because Mayday Games, I don't have a lot of Mayday Games that I can point to that say, man, this got me excited. This is really the first one of theirs that I've really looked at and really thought was intriguing. So definitely check out the game. But if you have any connections to people who are actually putting together booths for events like this, please, please consider doing these pre-order things, because it worked so well. Now, mostly I try to make sure that I have at least a decent amount of knowledge about a game before I talk to you guys about it. Viceroy, I bought mostly because of the hype. I'm not going to lie. It's Gen Con. We all fall to that at some point or another. However, I'm 95% sure that this game is going to be something that I enjoy. The rest of these titles, however, I can tell you that I have played, and I will tell you that they're 100% awesome. Tides of Time, for the first one. These guys are going to be kind of rapid fire, because they're all kind of smaller games. I kind of took the big ticket items first. These next ones are small. Tides of Time is a two-player game put out by the guys at Portal. And Tides of Time is really nice because at its core, it really is simple. It's a drafting game. And there really isn't much more mechanically that I can tell you about, other than it is kind of interesting because after you're done drafting, you actually get to choose one card that you keep. They're considered ages. Each round is considered an age. And you're able to keep one card from the previous age and make sure that you have that for the next round. So it really allows you to build up some kind of strategy, but at the same point, it's a two-player game, so it's not like you're keeping track of the strategies of a whole room full of people. You literally can say, oh, so-and-so has the card that if he has more of this particular suit, he's going to get a lot of points, so I'm going to take that card. But at the same point, if you take a card that's useful to your opponent, you're not taking a card that may be useful for yourself. I love this game because really it's just pick a card, you know, it's drafting. It's straight up drafting. But at the same point, it puts together this real nice package in a really light game. And I'm not going to lie, the fact that it was only $12 really solidified it. If you can get your hands on Tides of Time and you're looking for that nice little filler game, or that nice little game that when you're sitting around doing nothing and you have a buddy next to you, Tides of Time is definitely a huge recommendation from me. Now, the general rule of thumb when going to a convention, this next title kind of defies it, but at the same point kind of embraces it. Council of Verona has been around for a while. Crash Games put it out a while ago, and it was very popular. It even showed up on tabletop. So you might be asking yourself, why did I buy a game that's already been out that has been available? And the answer to that is it was available and it was out there into the public. But I'll tell you what, man, it became so popular so quick that it was really hard shortly after it became, and you know, it was announced and was available in stores. It became really hard to find. So I was happy to find out that they were coming out with a deluxe edition, a kind of a second edition at Gen Con, and they had it in plenty of supply. So I was able to pick up a copy. And it not only does it come with the base game, it also comes with an expansion called the Poison Expansion. The short version of this game is it's a real quick, again, small box game. And the idea is that it takes place in Verona during the time of Romeo and Juliet. And the prince is really tired of the Capulets and the Montagues having their feud. So he's going to set up a council to kind of keep the peace. However, each person in the families has their own agenda at hand. Romeo wants to be with Juliet. Juliet wants to be with Romeo, but there are others. Lord Montague wants to make sure that his family has the power. He wants there to be more Montagues than Capulets on the council. Capulet wants to make sure that there are, likewise, on his family is in control. He wants more Capulets. The prince wants there to be an even number of both families, or he wants to make sure that there are at least four neutral characters that have no allegiance to either family. These are just some of them. There are other cards that move people around. You can either be on the council or in exile, so you're moving characters around, positioning them, and placing your influence tiles on the various spots on the card. There are usually three on each card, and the actual expansion that came out with it, the Poison Expansion, you can actually poison characters. So people might think that you're actually putting influence on it and trying to get points for that character, but really you're just taking that character out of the game. It's really quick. The first game I played of this, I think the entirety of it, including teaching the other people I was playing with, maybe took 20 minutes, and even that was mostly because we were figuring out what we were doing. This is another real light, real simple game that is just, it's a lot of fun. When you're looking for that small game, whether it's just because you've got nothing to do for the next 15 minutes, or you're just trying to kill time between another big game, man, Council of Verona is a good way to go. Okay, the last title that I'm going to bring up to you guys is The Gem. It's that hidden secret game, because in the Gen Con preview that I put out, I told you, this is just the stuff I know about, because I knew that there'd be at least one game that I had no idea, I'd never heard of, I knew nothing about, but I was going to play it, and it was going to be gold. And that is a game from the guys at Cool Mini or Not again. It's called The Grizzled. I'd never heard of this game. I had no idea about what it was, and really the only reason I found out about it was because I kept watching Twitter and Instagram and seeing reviewer after player after player talk about this game. So when I got the opportunity to jump in on a game, I knew I had to. I was playing it on Friday night, and literally Saturday morning, I jumped. I made sure that I got to Cool Mini or Not because I needed to have this little tiny game. I can't go through all the ins and outs of it without, you know, devoting a huge amount of time to this game, but here's what intrigues me. This game understands that there's more to gaming than the game. This game is a war game, in a sense. It's a war game because it deals with soldiers, but it's not like any war game you've ever played before because there's no combat in it. There's no movement, there's no tactics. This game is about trauma and about stress and about the weight of being a soldier in combat, specifically trench combat in World War II. The short version of this game is that there's a stack of cards, and your goal is to remove all of those cards from that stack and basically bring about peace. The final card that you see is a dove floating around. It's like the epitome of peace. So the idea is to survive long enough to get to the end of the war. Now, the way you do that is by going on missions, and missions are playing card, you know, basically the players take turn after turn to play a card from their hand. And this is where it gets crazy, because you have to make sure that you're playing cards that don't match more than three, the type of day, I guess you'd call it. It's day, night, snow and rain. So you can't have any of those matching up to three times. Nor can you have three matching symbols, whistles, bullets, or gas masks. So you're playing cards trying to keep track of who's what where, but there are also these other cards called traumas. And when it comes to traumas, these do crazy things. They're the things that tweak a person. One of the ones that really frustrated me was one called Muted, where I couldn't speak. I was not physically allowed to talk or communicate with the other players in any regard. That was hard. And we did have to hand wave it a little bit because of the fact that we were learning the game. But as a rule, I couldn't speak for the entire game. And that was painful, especially when you get other traumas out there. Like, I think one was prideful. So he couldn't withdraw from the fighting until he had no cards left or there was nothing else to do. He had to be in the fight. There were some that was... I don't want to spend too much time going into all of them, but these trauma cards get crazy. And if any one player has four of those trauma cards, game over. Guys, this game has so much going on in this tiny little box. I'm probably going to end up writing about it because there was so much to talk about, and I could spend probably the rest of this episode talking about the little bits and fun little angles of the Grizzled, but there's so much left to say in this episode that I'm not going to do that. It is well worth the $20 price tag that I paid for it. Well worth it. This game does things that other games aren't doing. And it really is interesting. It's hard. It's a cooperative game. And really, the time that we played, we did end up winning. But it literally came down to the very last couple plays where it just so happened that everyone nailed it exactly right. Because if any one of them missed, if one of like three or four turns did not hit perfectly, we wouldn't have won. And man, when you realize that not winning in this doesn't mean your people die, but means your people just break down mentally, man, check this game out because it is, yeah, it'll make you think. It's a simple little game, but it will make you think. Definitely check out The Grizzled. Okay, that covers it for the Horde. That covers it, all the stuff that I brought home from the event. However, that was not nearly all the stuff that I saw and all the people that I talked to. I told you that we were going to go back to Plaid Hat, and we are right now. Because as I was waiting online to get my copy of Ashes, I looked around and I just so happened to see, wait a minute, there's a gentleman sitting there with a bunch of birds and mice, little figurines. This gentleman happened to be Jerry Hawthorne, the guy who's in charge of the new game that's coming out from Plaid Hat called Tail Feathers. And Tail Feathers... I was really hoping to get a demo there, but as he explains in the interview, there was some complications which made it so that they couldn't bring it there. But this game, it takes place in the world of Mice and Mystics, and it's basically aerial combat. So it's pretty much if Mice and Mystics gets combined with the Star Wars miniatures game. So imagine that, and I'm just going to just cut right now to Jerry talking about this game.
All right, I'm actually pulling double duty at the Plaid Hat booth. I didn't expect this, but Jerry Hawthorne happened to be sitting right by the Tail Feathers. So tell me a little bit about Tail Feathers, because I know the minis I'm looking at look gorgeous, and I'm excited to see you guys get into the whole miniatures combat thing. So tell me a little bit about it.
Absolutely, yeah. Tail Feathers is a standalone game that's set in the Mice and Mystics world, and it's somewhat compatible with the base set of Mice and Mystics. You can actually take your Mice and Mystics figures and play them in the Tail Feathers game. So if you already own Mice and Mystics and you get Tail Feathers, you'll basically double the amount of stuff that you have that you can play with. But it's a miniature skirmish game that involves, you know, troops flying around on birds and running along tree branches and fighting each other. And it's campaign based, so you can link together the scenarios into a little campaign, and it comes with a little story arc that like leads into the Mice and Mystics world. So
very cool. And you said that you can actually tilt the miniatures and the birds and that they're interchangeable. Tell them a little bit about that.
Yeah, the pilots are interchangeable, and you can mix and match different pilots with different birds for different effect. The birds are mounted on a ball and socket, so you can tilt them, and that's an actual mechanic used in the game to kind of tell your opponent which direction your bird is intending on flying on its turn. The game is due for a fourth quarter release sometime before Christmas.
Okay, yeah, super happy that you were able to have them out here. I mean, obviously I wish we could demo it, but I know that you guys are still working on things. Super excited about it.
Thank you. Yeah, we just couldn't get the mechanic that allows the birds to tilt is fairly complex for the manufacturing process, so we weren't able to get them in time for Gen Con, but we'll be at Essen and we'll be demoing at Essen, and that'll be our debut.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much.
No, thank you.
So let's break this down. I love miniatures combat. I love Mice and Mystics. I love Plaid Hat. I love customization. I'm excited for Tail Feathers. Now, I have no idea when it's coming out. You know, he says fourth quarter, but that could mean anything. I will be looking for this. I really wish I could have played it. I'm really jealous for anybody who gets to go to Essen, not only because it's Essen, but because they get to play Tail Feathers. Guys, definitely be looking for this one. I'm excited. I'll have pictures. I know I've released pictures in the tavern. Man, check out what these miniatures look like. Now, granted, I took pictures of fully painted ones. Fully painted minis are always going to look amazing. But, man, even unpainted, these things look really, really cool. The detail is spectacular. Check out Tail Feathers when it comes out. Now, missing Kickstarters is nothing new. I already mentioned that I missed out on the Viceroy Kickstarter when that happened. Thankfully, I was able to pick that up at Gen Con. However, there's also another title that was being demoed at Gen Con. It wasn't available, but I missed out on it completely just because of, you know, various things. It was timing. It took me a while to find it. And then when I found it, I didn't have the money at the time of the Kickstarter. That's a game called Tricarion. Missing Kickstarters is a thing that happens. Well, there was one that was pretty much the bane of my existence for a while because it was hard for me to get the game when it came out in stores. It's another game that was pretty much the darling when it came out at Gen Con last year, and that was a game called Star Realms. Star Realms is a real simple game. It's in your pocket. You've probably played it. You probably have the app version because people are constantly playing this game no matter where you go. I actually got a chance to talk to the guys who did Star Realms, and not only did I get to talk to them about upcoming stuff for Star Realms, I talked to them about Epic, a game that I didn't miss for the Kickstarter, and I'm super excited to get that. So I'm going to cut you over right now to the interview I did, hear a little bit about Star Realms and a little bit about Epic.
All right, guys, this is a busy intersection. I hope all my audio is going to be all right. I'm here with the folks over that do Star Realms and also do an Epic. And I know you guys love Star Realms because a lot of you guys play with me on the app. So I want to hear a little bit more just about Epic and what you guys are hoping to see with that.
All right, well, first I'm going to hit on Star Realms a little bit for your Star Realms listeners. So we have, for Star Realms, we've got a couple sets coming out this fall and winter. We have something called the Cosmic Gambit set, which adds new gambits to the game. That'll be a $6 pack available in October or November time frame in shops. And then we have our most exciting Star Realms product coming is called Colony Wars. It's a full new deck box for Star Realms. It's going to be 128 cards, just like the original. It'll have the same scorecards, scouts, vipers, and explorers, but the trade deck, the 80-card trade deck, is all brand new. All new ships, all new bases. You can play that on its own, or you can mix it with the original Star Realms. That's going to be awesome, and that'll be in stores for Christmas. And for the app, we have the Crisis expansion packs will be rolling out over the fall and winter into the digital game. So we got new content coming for digital as well. And then, of course, Epic is our new game. That is, we had a bunch of backers on Kickstarter for that. And for those guys, we're still on track for getting them their games in September, knock on wood. And then for the rest of the world, we're looking at October or November for Epic to be in stores. Epic is a complete strategy card game in a little box the same size as Star Realms. Costs $15. You get 128 cards for your $15. The 120 of them are unique, different playing cards, and then the other 8 cards are tokens for use with the game. It gives you a complete strategy card game experience. It plays like a trading card game. You can do sealed deck, draft, pre-constructed deck or construct decks at home, all with these cards. With one deck, you can support up to four players playing. You can do sealed, you can do draft, and you can play pre-constructed decks. The gameplay is awesome, and it's got even more depth and replayability than Star Realms. I know that can be kind of hard to believe because some people played like several thousand games on the app, but there is there's just so much going on with the Epic game, and we're super excited about it. Can't wait to get it in people's hands.
Awesome. I know, as a backer, I'm super excited to get my hands on Epic, so hope you guys have a great Gen Con, and hope you guys continue to be just putting out this awesome stuff.
All right, thank you. Bye.
If you listened to our Gen Con content from last year, you remember me talking about a group of people from the company Peaceable Kingdom. Now, Peaceable Kingdom puts together kids' games, but they're kids' games that do something unique. Their games are almost entirely cooperative, for starters, which is awesome for kids' games. But they also have rule sets that kind of age with the kid. So as your child grows up, they have kind of more challenge to the game so that they can still enjoy the game. It also works if you have kids that are of multiple different age brackets. Well, this year they brought a new title, and it was kind of interesting because the person I talked to, named Rachel, was basically saying that because of the fact that the kids that have been playing these games are growing up, they actually kind of busted into a new kind of older kid game. Now, it's still very much a kid's game, but this is more of an older audience. So I'm just going to cut to Rachel right now, and she's going to let you know a little bit more about this new game that they came out with.
So guys, last year we talked about our neighbors here at Gen Con, which is Peaceable Kingdom. We love what these guys are doing, and this year they have a new game. So I'm here with Rachel, and I'm going to have her explain a little bit about this new game called Cauldron Quest.
So Cauldron Quest is a really awesome game for 6 and up, and we're trying to dive a little bit into games that have a little bit more of harder components and whatnot. So it's a lot more dice rolling than our other games and a little bit more push your luck and chances that you can take on Cauldron Quest. And you are battling as a team, cooperatively, of course, against the evil wizard that has cast a spell on the kingdom. So he is trying to block our path to the cauldron, and we are trying to get our potion bottles that have ingredients in them into the cauldron to break the wizard's spell. So to do that, you must roll the dice and reveal an ingredient, swap potion bottles, or get special combinations to blast by one of the path blockers. So you're really fighting against the wizard, and you're fighting as a team, which is exciting. And at no point is the game over. So you can always, if it's getting close to ending, you can always make a comeback.
Awesome. Now, this is a brand new one for you guys. Have you guys had a lot of good responses to this one so far?
Cauldron Quest has been flying off shelves. So it's been very exciting for us since we released it around Toy Fair time, and the art's exciting, it's whimsical but not scary, and a little creepy with the wizard and all the different ingredients, so that draws attention to it. Plus, a lot of our fans are growing up, so they grew up with Feed the Woozle and all of our classic games that do really well, but they're ready for the next step, so they're coming back and they're ready for more, and they're growing up, so it's been really fun watching Cauldron Quest this year.
Awesome. Now, and I know you guys who are listening to this podcast after the fact can't tell this, but you guys have literally doubled the size of your booth this year. How has Gen Con been for you guys overall?
So Gen Con last year, as some might know that we're here, we sold all of our games in 2 days. So we came extra prepared this year with extra games and whatnot, expanded our booth because we were just swamped and we didn't have enough room to play. And that's what we really want to do, is get people in here and playing. So we expanded our booth, added a table. You can sit down, come play. And we have plenty of space to have all of our games out. So, and it's inviting, it's open, and come in, play, and join the kingdom.
Well, again, guys, we met you guys last year, had a lot of fun with your game. I brought several of them home for myself, added them to the collection. So hope you guys continue to have a great event, and hopefully we'll see you again next year.
Yeah, we love being neighbors, so hopefully we continue that forever.
All right, thanks.
Thank you.
Okay, so I'm about to wrap up the designer/presenter, publisher kind of section of this episode. And I can't think of anyone better to wrap that up than the force of nature that is Steven Bonacore. I went over to the Stronghold booth and I happened to see Steven, and I wrangled him for a little bit. Man, You know, I've heard this guy on interviews before. I've heard him on the Dice Tower. And I knew he seemed to be a very fun guy, a very, very energetic, sort of powerful guy. Man, to talk to Stephen Bonacore is to just grab hold of something and just let it rip, because this dude is, he's just a blast to talk to. And I got to talk to him about a couple different titles, because Stronghold was bringing a whole bunch of stuff this year. So rather than me break down each one beforehand, I'm just going to go there and let him talk about it, because, man, he's just a blast, and he's East Coast strong, you know, Jersey forever. All right, Stephen, take it away. All right, guys, I'm over here at the Stronghold Games booth. I'm actually over here with Stephen Bonacore himself. I feel like it's an East Coast connection here coming out of Jersey. So, Stephen, tell me a little bit about what you guys got. You guys have a lot coming out this year.
We have a ridiculously big schedule of games. In fact, I'm going to show it. This doesn't make great radio, yeah. But you could. I just put in front of your mic. Well, your mic doesn't have his badge on.
I got it down here. Sorry. Right. I got to hide these things.
So in front of Mike, that there's 17 or 18 releases that I actually did this year. And one of the ones that is just about to come out is Dark Moon, and I know Mike really is a fan of that.
I want to know more about Dark Moon, because I've been hearing a lot about it, but I haven't had a chance to really look into it yet.
I mean, if you're a fan of Hidden Trader, Dark Moon is, like, in my opinion, the ultimate Hidden Trader game. You know, everybody who likes Hidden Trader likes Battlestar Galactica. But getting Battlestar Galactica to the table is really hard.
It's a beast.
3-4 hour marathon, even when you know how to play. It's a huge, huge time. Everyone gets together at 8 o'clock at night. I don't know if you can play that game, because it's already midnight, you're tired and stuff like that. You can play 3 or 4 games of Dark Moon in the time it takes to beat Battlestar Galactica. The general idea, now we stripped out the Battlestar Galactica from it to do the game, because we don't have that IP. That's my good friends at Fantasy Flight. But the general idea is that one of the players has become infected, and there may be more. They don't know who each other are. It's their job to destroy the station. And there are many systems on the station that can be destroyed. The brilliant portion of it is that everyone has a number of dice that they can roll to do these tasks and go on these events, and do the events. They take the dice, they roll those dice behind their screen, so they don't know, no one knows what they rolled. Then they have to put at least one die into the challenge. Now, those dice have 4 negative sides, the D6s, they have 4 negative sides and 2 positive sides. So even the good guys are going to be poisoning the pot, and they didn't even know that they were going to be poisoning because they may roll. So that is the genius portion of that game. It's so hard to pick those traitors out. They stay hidden the whole time, and it's the cursing and screaming and that intense amount of betrayal and tension in Battlestar condensed into 1 hour.
Awesome. And I see, we're, you know, again, great radio, but I'm going to tell you, we're sitting right here by Survive Space Attack. So that's basically, is that just a reskin of the old Survive game, or is there more to that?
There's more to it. Now, Survive Escape from Atlantis is my biggest selling game year over year, because it's such a great crossover game. You play with your kids, your grandmother, and then you play with your buddies stabbing each other back over a beer. The Engelsteins have reimagined the game. It's still got that base mechanic. It's called Survive Space Attack. We take it into space. It's now a space station that is falling apart, and you've got to get your spaceman off. But what differences did they add into the game? They added a bunch of things. First of all, it was a double-sided game board, so you can set the game up completely differently if you want. Only 2 jump points, and the space station's already been fragmented a bit. You have fighter ships now. You can jump in a one-man fighter, fly around shooting the aliens, and then redeploying them against your opponents. You have laser turrets that are going to fire and destroy aliens that are on the space station already. The tile abilities are really different and unique, and you can combine them to make even bigger effects. There are 4 thicknesses of the tiles now, not just 3. There was 3, and that looked gorgeous. Now we have 4 thicknesses, and then the aliens themselves can morph and get even more powerful. So it's a slightly more gamerly version of the original Survive. Kids can still easily, we still have it calling it 8 to adults, so kids can still play it, but you and your buddies, they can even enjoy it that much more with all the extra options. We're coming out with 2 mini expansions again for this. We're coming out at the same time as this comes out in September, a 5-6 player again, so now you can take it to 6, as well as a card pack called The Crew Strikes Back, and now you're going to have the crew of the ship, you're going to get 2 of them to help you out, one use powers basically in the game.
And now Dark Moon, the release date, did that already come out yet, or is that about to come out?
Dark Moon is street dates next week, August 5th.
Okay, I figured it was close. Very close. While I got you here, is there anything else you want to talk about? I know you got a lot of stuff here we just saw.
Well, I'll briefly mention La Granja, or La Granja, if you're an American. La Granja, medium-weight Euro game. It's selling fantastically. It just street-dated last week. I mean, people are just saying, you know, the Euro gamers are going to love this game because there's so many interesting, nifty mechanics, but very approachable game. So that's a quick mention on that. But the bigger mention I'm going to make is my magnum opus, Space Cadets Away Missions, the third standalone game in the Space Cadets universe. This one with 102 plastic miniatures in the game. So I'm like the new cool mini or not, a fantasy.
Yeah, and they are gorgeous minis.
Thank you very much. 16 different sculpts, 102 in total. Set in the golden age of science fiction, so you've got amazing creatures. You got a brain in a jar. I mean, it literally has a brain in a jar, a two-piece
awesome.
Miniature that you see. You got mind leeches. You got the saucer men, the leaders with their flowing capes. All those things you would see in a 50s science fiction movie, but with really gorgeous artwork too. Mission-based, big cooperative game, mission-based. 20 missions come in the box, and you have this narrative story arc that you're going to be telling as you're playing the game. Very proud of this production coming out in September, October timeframe.
Well, awesome. Thank you so much, sir. I hope you have a great Gen Con.
Hey, thank you, Mike. Appreciate it.
Like he said, I went to Stronghold Games looking for Dark Moon because I was really intrigued by how it works, and I still am. I didn't bring it home, and it was mostly just because of a budget issue, but man, that game seems fascinating, and talking to Stephen Bonacore about his games is a trip, and it's something that should be experienced. If you're at Gen Con and you see him, go ahead and talk to him, because you're going to, you know, get your ear talked off. I did not have a moment to enter in anything into that conversation because he was just going, and man, it was all so good. And I'll tell you what, I'm not going to, you know, rehash a bunch of stuff that, you know, he did put on Facebook, so if you follow him on Facebook, you'll have seen what I saw that morning. But man, the fact that he went through a pretty traumatic thing that morning, and that afternoon I was talking to him and he was still able to be excited about his games, to be excited about hanging out with people. Man, I don't know how he does it, man. Stephen Bonacore, if you're listening right now, all prayers for you and your family. I really hope your Gen Con was a huge success, and really hope that Stronghold Games continues to just kick butt and take names. Now, that might be the end of our designer talk. It might be the end of our gaming preview talk. It might be the end of our discussions about what I found. However, there's much more to talk about when talking about what happened this year at Gen Con, because I've spent the last year, probably a little bit more, meeting people online, but never meeting them in person, and having these great conversations about games and talking about the nature of the hobby. And it was really cool this year because I actually got to meet several of them face to face. I called it the Internet People Are Real Tour. And it started out with just talking to a bunch of people, but the cool part really happened when regulars came up to me. Regulars from the tavern, from the site, people who had made contact with me previous and really wanted to just show appreciation for what we're doing. Man, I'll tell you what, it was super encouraging every time somebody came up and said that they've been praying for the ministry, saying that they wanted to meet me, that they wanted to go out of their way to connect with me. It was the coolest thing ever. And if I'm ever at an event, whether it's future Gen Cons or some other event, and you know I'm going to be there, please find me, because that was so cool each and every time somebody did that. I didn't get any audio from our regulars because it just, I don't know, for some reason it always felt weird to kind of grab the mic while we were having these conversations, but man, I loved it every time. And that's just the thing. There are so many people that I've got to meet online, but now I got to meet them in person. And that ranges from the regulars all the way up to these amazingly wonderful and influential people who are doing so much to affect gaming culture. The guys who are on YouTube channels and podcasts, the guys who are known the world over. And we just got to hang out and play board games together. It's the coolest thing running, and it's part of my favorite thing. So I want to share with you guys now some audio clips of some of the people that I got to hang out with. Early on, and I'm going to say that this was early on, not only because it was, but because of the fact that I found out something. I got to real quick meet up with Marty and Vanessa Cannell. I found out that's how you pronounce their name. You may have heard me in previous times, and even in this audio clip, calling them Marty and Vanessa Connell. I apparently have been butchering their last name for a long time, and I'm fixing that right now. So, Marty and Vanessa are amazingly cool people. I joked with Marty. Marty's been on the podcast before. He was part of episode 100. And I said, man, it'd be really nice to meet Marty, but I'm super excited to meet Vanessa. And I'll tell you what, man. She is an amazing... She's a hoot. I absolutely loved it. I gave Marty a hard time, but man, I absolutely loved meeting Vanessa. She is good, good people. And I'm just going to... Let's just cut to their audio right now, because you guys need to hear these two.
All right, guys, so I was wandering through the aisles, picking up various sundries before I had to go back to the booth, and I happened to stumble upon somebody. Marty Connell, how are you doing?
I'm doing just great. Great to see you, man. It was kind of, like I said, first time we met, it was like a drive-by. It's like we were both, I'm going to this game, we'll see you later.
Hey, catch you later, bye.
And then, in this madness, we happened to run each other again, so it was destined, it was meant to be.
Well, as much as I love seeing you, Marty, and it's fun to actually meet you in person after being... Yeah, forget this. Who I'm really here to see is his other half, his lovely wife, Vanessa. How are you doing, ma'am?
I am doing fantastic. I was with my youngest out front waiting to get in, and we took a great video of the mass mob and crowd. But it was really neat being out there with him. And him being 12 and as tall as me, I said, Brett, you got to hang on to me. And he just hung on, and we came in. It was a nice bonding moment with me and the youngest coming into Gen Con. And you know what? I have a moon pie for you.
I get a moon pie. I feel like I've been inducted into some kind of great secret society now.
I don't know if that's great, and it's not that much of a secret. And you probably shouldn't eat too many of them, but we should have picked up something a little more healthy, like bananas or something.
Oh, come on, man! I'm proud to rock the little icon on BoardGameGeek of the squirrel with the moon pie. It wouldn't be the same if it was with a banana. That just wouldn't work.
No, that's a very good point.
And you caught us on the way to go and pick up the squirrel tokens, so we'll have to meet up again and get you your squirrel.
That's right.
Absolutely. Well, guys, what are you most excited about? I mean, being on the podcast, we've both had different times of saying what we're excited about, but you haven't been on my podcast saying what you're excited about. So what is the driving thing for you this year?
You know what? This is sappy, but it's this. It's running into people and talking that you get to talk to online. I got to give credit to this. Jamie from Secret Cabal said, the cons have become the summer camp for gamers.
Oh, that's perfect.
It's like you chit-chat online stuff all year long. You mail, like pen pals and stuff. And then you get together and you hug and you talk and how you doing. That's what I'm looking most forward to. And that's what I've enjoyed most, just like this right here.
Yeah, it's funny because I've been saying this. There's a couple people on Twitter. I'm like, all right, I'm here at this time and you're there at that time. We need to figure this out. And it's fun that like I've been talking to you now for probably like the past year or so. And it's fun that we're just finally getting to actually meet in person.
Yeah, that's what I mean. And then because we've done that, it's like we're here. It's like, hey, we're talking. And there's like an instant connection. We know each other. We've been talking. So it's like that way, with everybody that you talk with on Twitter. So as great as the games are, and to be honest, let's talk about games for a second. There's not really many games around here that's blowing a lot of people away this year at Gen Con. In fact, a lot of people have been saying, all right, what's the big game this year? Or what are you most excited about? And it's like, I don't know. It seems like a down year for Gen Con for some reason.
Yeah, I said that too. Like, there are a lot of great games, but nothing that's above and beyond the others. Like, it's a lot of solid effort, but nothing that's that blow-away craziness.
Right, and somebody was saying, I think it was Eric Summer I was talking to yesterday. He said that, like, last year you had, your five tribes, which kind of swept in, won all these awards. And it's hard to pinpoint... Is there a game like that this year? Or is it just like there's good, solid games, but not that one or two that rises to the top?
Yeah. So now, Vanessa, what game is exciting for you this year? Because you don't get a chance to always hop on the podcast and shout your opinions. So I'm curious as to what you're looking for here.
Well, I'm really looking forward to trying out Steamworks. That's the game that I really want to try out. But I'm coming with the mission this year. I want to do a few videos on things not relating to gaming to try to get families to come where the spouse may not be into gaming to say, come on, there's a lot for you to do. I'm taking a yoga class, a cooking class, a cosplaying class. So some different things other than gaming to try to get families to come.
What? I know for a fact that my wife's not a gamer. A lot of the guys on our network and everything like that, their wives aren't gamers, so they kind of tolerate us doing this. So That's a really good kind of thing. And that's going to be on your guys' YouTube channel?
Yeah, hopefully, yeah. So I'm going to try out the GoPro. I need to practice with it a little more. But you see there are families here. So if we could just get them here, there's a lot for families to do while some are gaming and you can take other classes. And then, you know, they just might find that game that they fall in love with, and that's it.
Yep, that's exactly right. All right, guys, I won't take up any more of your time. It is a busy con, of course. So, again, thank you, guys. I'm sure we'll run into each other throughout the next 4 days, but I'm really glad to actually get to meet you guys.
Yeah, we better run each other the next 4 days. I mean, we've already run each other twice in like an hour, so it's destined.
Well, you know, I got to be at the booth most of the rest of the con, so, you know, this is my walk-around time. So I'm glad that I got a chance to hang out with you guys.
Cool. Well, thank you so much. I enjoyed it, man.
Just like Marty, there was another gentleman I got to talk to who's part of the Dice Tower Network. And, you know, I was sitting across the table from him, and like I said before, there's nobody that's unapproachable in the gaming community. And I really wanted to stress that to everybody. Please, when you go to events like this, don't just feel like you can't talk to these people, because they really are just like anybody else. They're people who love games. And I don't know of anybody who is part of this hobby who doesn't know the name Sam Healy. And I wanted to talk to Sam not only because he just seems like a really cool guy and a fun person to talk to, but also because of the fact that he's recently he's gone full-time on the Dice Tower, and part of that is going to be bringing back the Dice Steeple onto a regular schedule. And I know that I, for one, am super excited about more people bringing more voices to the conversation of faith in gaming. So I definitely wanted to talk to him about that. Super excited to kind of meet him and to build a relationship with him, and hoping that continues as they continue to do that podcast as well. We're just going to cut right to that audio and get you guys, you know, listening to Sam Healy.
All right, guys, it is late on Saturday, so I'm hoping that I don't, you know, do anything silly. But, maybe I'm hoping that I am going to be a little bit silly. I mean, this is Gen Con.
Yeah.
I'm actually here sitting with Sam Healy. And we're not going to get to play the Mission Red Planet that's set up in front of us. But before I get going, I wanted to make sure I just talked to him. Sam, how's your Gen Con been?
It has been an amazing first experience. Haven't played a whole lot of new games, as a matter of fact. I've been catching up. I'm kind of taking over the light war game aspect of reviews for the Dice Tower. So I've been playing a lot of older games on that light war game feel. So I stopped by Academy Games booth yesterday and did Awakening the Bear, which is the Conquest of Heroes. No, Conflict of Heroes. I always get that mixed up. Man. And then I was also able to play a game of Heroes of Normandy with the designer Clem over at Yellow from Devil Pig. And so that's been some cool stuff. Kind of getting into that threshold of my niche, so to speak, with the Dice Tower. So that's been pretty cool. So that's kind of what I've been doing. And then the highlight really has been meeting people, meeting listeners of the show, and getting to shake hands, put faces to names, and that type of thing.
Yeah, the whole time, all the guys listening to my Twitter, I've been calling it the Internet People Are Real Tour.
Yeah, right.
Just because there have been, you know, after last year, there have been so many people that I've been talking to on Twitter,
yeah.
And now to come here and see it. I think, who was it that said, who branded Gen Con summer camp for the gaming community?
Oh, yeah, that would work. That would work, because you just you meet people here, and you never their name, you know their Twitter handle, you know their Instagram handle, you know their Facebook image,
right.
You know, but you don't have a body to put with a persona, and yeah, that's one of the cool things about. For me, it's really kind of the coolest thing about Gen Con. I mean, the crowds and everything kind of rub me the wrong way, just because I'm not a crowd kind of person. I don't like big crowds, but this has not actually been as bad as I thought it was going to be. And meeting all the people is definitely a high point.
Now, I know you've been saying that you focus on a lot of the other war games and stuff. You haven't got to play much,
right.
But as far as the stuff that's been released that you might have heard of, is there anything that's particularly exciting for you?
Well, I'll tell you what, I made sure I got myself a copy of Eric Lang's Blood Rage.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
It's a weird title. It's a Viking game. That's all it is. And that's the one I made sure I got. I made sure I got the new release of Mission Red Planet. Beyond that, I have picked up some smaller games, additions to games that I already have. I picked up the Tyranid expansion for Warhammer 40K Conquest, which is a card game put out by Fantasy Flight. I picked up sounds weird. I picked up a little an extra navigational thing for Armada, so that we don't have to pass back and forth.
Well, that's the little stuff that always gets you. Like, you don't think about it until you're about halfway through your first playthrough, and you go, man, I wish we didn't have to keep doing this.
Right. And then I also picked up, dropped by a Chessex booth and picked up a set of dice for my copy of Dead of Winter. A lot of people trick out their copy of Dead of Winter with the frosted blue dice, and I was like, man, everybody's doing that. I want to do something else. So I found this copy, these dice that are white and blue, pearlescent kind of, but they have red pips on them. So I was like, that's perfect.
Yeah, that's fitting.
That was perfect because, you know, it got that little blood drops there. So that was cool. I was stoked to find that out. And then I picked up some stuff for my family, T-shirts and stuff like that as well. Going back to Academy and hopefully to get some review copies to kind of get that light war game churn machine going. So it's just been really a really fun time.
Very cool. Well, is there anything, I mean, I know you guys are probably going to be just dead tired and exhausted, but is there anything that we can be looking forward to as far as the Dice Tower coming up soon?
Well, Dice Tower, we're probably going to be putting together a lot of the video footage that we shot here. We were able to get a lot of people saying shut the door, so you'll see that. A lot of cosplayers and a lot of prominent people. Well, at least one prominent person. So you can look forward to that. But really, I think when we get back, we're just going to... There's a little bit of a lull between Essen and Gen Con, so we're really just going to be getting back to a groove, kind of putting out reviews and stuff like that. I'm going to start working on putting together all of the Age of Sigmar models, and I'm probably going to try to do some videos on, you know, one of the bigger models in the package, putting it together and painting it. You know, maybe do a faster speed video on it or something like that. That's something I've got on the docket, and you know, we're just gonna start cooking through all of the games we picked up for review copies and getting those out to everybody. As far as the Dice Steeple is concerned, we're probably gonna be recording two episodes next week, but we're not gonna put them out yet because the bandwidth that we have on the site right now, we can only put up one a month. So that's another thing we gotta look at. But I'm gonna be talking to Bruno Fiduti tomorrow to solidify getting a time to talk with him so Dan and I can talk with him. He's one of the designers that we're going to have on the show. And then I've also got another taping scheduled for probably Thursday or Friday to talk with a couple of guys from Hindman, Kentucky about their game group and their church that they started last year with 12 people, and now it's up to 60, over 60. So we're going to talk to them about how they worked through all of that. So those are some things that are on the horizon.
Well, I'm definitely looking forward to the Bruno Fiduti because he's made some of my really favorite games.
Yeah.
And I know recently he had a few strong things to say about faith and gaming and how he doesn't think they jive at all.
Yeah, that's true. And that's one of the things that Dan picked up on, and we were able to talk between him and I first and see if this is something we want to do, and we do. I think it's going to be a good step in that direction of having other worldviews on the show in a safe environment where they don't feel like we're having them on just so we can browbeat them, but at the same time it's going to be a pleasant discussion, hopefully, because That's just something me and Dan have really been thinking about. We have to get the dialogue back up and running. Right now, it's just a bunch of muckraking between both sides. We got to get the dialogue back up and running before we can take any steps forward. So hopefully it works out.
All right. Thank you so much, Sam. I hope you get somebody to play Mission Red Planet with you tonight. otherwise, I'll see you tomorrow, and we'll be seeing you on the channel.
No, thanks. Yeah, it's no problem. It works. If it's supposed to work, it doesn't if it doesn't. So, but thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Obviously, I love talking about Faith and gaming and the overlap there with Sam because he's doing the Dice Steeple. But that wasn't the only time that conversation happened on mic. I also got to meet up with a guy he does freelance editing work, but he was also there with his family. And they were working one of the booths, and actually was working one of the booths for my number 10 most exciting title, which was Thunderbirds. He was working with the Modifius booth. His name was T.R. Knight, and he's just a fun guy, really, really passionate about what he does, about the games that he plays, about the instruction books that he constantly kind of kicks his head back and goes, I can't believe they published this thing. He just had a fun conversation. He and I kind of hit up back and forth throughout the weekend, but right before the church service, when we really got to connect, it was when we got the mic out and really did a little bit of audio. He's a really special dude. You're going to hear him again probably on the podcast. I have a bunch of people that I have lined up to do interviews already, but probably once we start thinning that list out a little bit, you're going to hear from TR directly yourselves. For now, I'm going to send you to this audio and hear a little bit about what he thinks about when he thinks about church and the service at Gen Con specifically. All right, guys. In the tour of Internet People Are Real, we got to meet up with T.R. Knight, who has been following us on Twitter and everything, been a part of a lot of stuff on our internet things. And he introduced himself, and I thought I'd say hi. So how's your Gen Con been, man?
It's been very well. This year it was kind of fun. I got to bring my daughters with me for their first time to work a booth. I'm helping with Modifius this year, running their booth for them. So I've got my twin daughters with me, Emily and Rachel, and today my wife is with me as well. So it's pretty exciting.
So we are actually right now standing right outside of the Gen Con church service. Have you been to one of these before?
Yep. This will be my fourth Gen Con church service, which is always exciting to worship with fellow geeks and see multiple Jane hats and costumes and hang out with everybody and sing together. It's really enjoyable.
Now, I mean, you just kind of said it's really nice, but is there anything you can want to expand on that? Because I know I went off on last year's podcast. It was last year, no, 2 years ago was the first time I went to a service. I was just like blown away by just being there and worshiping with people from all over the denominations. Is there anything you want to like expound on just on that feeling of being with all these folks?
Well, what's most fascinating is it's the idea that you're with your people that all understand you. Yeah. I mean, you're a fellow gamers there, and there's a unique experience the first time you come to this service. When you walk in, and there's a guy sitting there with Gary Gygax on a shirt. There's another guy, you know, dressed as an elf. There's the Jane hat, and you're all singing Amazing Grace together. Mm-hmm. It really does show that our faith knows no bounds, that you can pretty much be among anybody, whether you're sports fans, games fans, and anything. And so this is just very unique, especially with the history of the hobby and everything. I love the idea that a whole bunch of cosplayers, gamers, artists, miniature players, we're all in one room, we're worshiping God, but it's a unique experience. Even if you have a casual church that you're used to going with jeans and casual shirts, it's a little bit different when everybody's wearing different gamer shirts and dice shirts and the dice are trying to kill me. Yeah. And there's a guy over here drawing, you know, beasts and seeing what he can do, and just that's a feel that I've never had in a church before. And I've been in churches in Europe, I've been in churches at different other conventions and everything, and so to be at a church service that's really all geeks, mm-hmm. you know, is a very different experience.
Well, I know you guys have been working. I know you guys have been working hard. Was there anything that either that's been at your guys' booth or at another booth that you saw that really got you, like, jazzed up for this year's Gen Con?
Well, for Modifius this year, which is exciting, for those of you who don't know me or don't follow me well, I'm a freelancer by trade. So I do proofreading and editing in the game industry. But this year, I was specifically hired by Chris Birch and Modifius to help run their booth. I've known Chris for a long time and have done work on stuff. So I guess the two most exciting things for me this year, one, I've got to spend time every morning with Matt Leacock. Matt Leacock worked with Modifius to create the new Thunderbirds game. It's exciting. So two excitements there. One, a little fanboying to be with Matt Leacock and talk about his family and enjoy them. And he's just a great guy. He's very casual. but it's a fun game. If you grew up on the Thunderbird show, it's exciting. The miniatures are cool in this game. It's a typical cooperative game by Matt Leacock. So if you like Pandemic and you like Forbidden Island and Forbidden Desert, it's that same concept, but with the Thunderbirds theme, with little miniatures and space and trying to save the world. The second thing is exciting is we won multiple Innies this year and had quite a few nominations. This is the first time I was asked to go on stage for the Innies, which was nerve-wracking.
Oh, wow.
And also exciting. So I got to go up because I worked on the Mutant Year Zero project and the Octung Cthulhu ones. I was the proofreader on those, so Chris actually asked me to be on stage as well. I didn't see anything because I was too nervous. So I was just kind of the guy up there in the background holding the award, very excited I was there because it's a great team. I love working with Chris Birch. Mm-hmm. Lynn Hardy is amazing to work with. All the various writers of these books, I've got to meet them. They're great people. I could talk forever on the naming. So that's the two exciting things for me this year that were unique was to be a part of the Innies, which is the big RPG award for people who don't know. And I got to be there and to spend time with Matt Leacock in this exciting Thunderbirds game.
Well, cool, man. Well, I'm going to let you get back to your family. I'm just going to say, I know I've said it in person, but now that I'm on air, I'm going to say it as well. It's been really cool to meet you this year because we've been talking via the internet for a while. And I'm hoping that if you guys are listening to this right now, that you guys will show up next year so that we can do this. So, yeah, man, hope you have a good Sunday and have a good end of the con.
Thank you very much. And same way with me. It has been so fun to meet so many people. I've met some guys that I worked with as a freelancer, like a guy from Peru, Luis, and a lot of other things that I have never met this year that I got a bunch of face-to-face. So Gen Con is a great place to finally put that face and stuff to the name you've been watching online.
Right. All right, man, have a good one.
Thank you.
All right. To wrap that up, if you haven't noticed it, I'm going to call it out. TR said it, Sam said it, Marty said it, and I said it throughout the whole time. Games are awesome. I'm sitting next to a pile of them that I brought back from Gen Con. I absolutely love being able to try stuff and buy stuff and bring it home to my friends and family. But when it all is said and done, it's the people. It's being able to connect with people and to meet people that you've been talking to online, because as much as I champion online communities, as much as I think that the internet has helped this hobby become what it is, there's something that's missing if you don't have that physical component, that opportunity to share space and breathe the same air as another human being. So I think I'm just going to wrap that up right there. There will be the other episodes with the panel and the church service that you can look forward to. But I'm going to just leave you with that. The idea that these games are a medium by which we actually get to see what the best of the gaming hobby has to offer. And that's each other. I hope you guys have a great time. And if you end up at an event and you know that I'm there, please come and find me, because I would absolutely love to meet with you and connect with you in that way.